Welcome back. It is the Big Podcast, episode 109, and it's just me, him, he today. T's not on here, it's just because T's taking classes right now, and T wants to make sure that she has enough energy to observe, maintain, and immerse herself into what she's breaking upon. If you don't know what I'm referring to, I honestly can't really go into detail. As we elevate, we are going to have to protect our privacy in a certain type of way. This episode is going to be a little different with just me being here. I'm going to go back and do what I did on the absolute first episode of the Big Podcast, and that was telling y'all my life story, kind of. I'm not going to go as much into detail. I'm doing this because, of course, I put the content on YouTube. As far as with T's absence, what she's doing is going to be a couple of months. So I don't know if she's going to be gone for the whole couple of months. She might pop up on an episode here and there. It is her show just as much as it's mine. You know, we're just going to figure it out. But one thing I always want to be clear of that we're doing, we take breaks because we're trying to elevate our lives. Let's get into my story. And the reason that I want to reiterate my story is because I just started posting on social media sites as far as visuals go. So the chances that somebody watching this has heard the first episode is probably slim because we're not that big of a podcast. So I just want to let everybody know who I am because I might say some things that you may not understand because you don't know me. So I'm sure you're not going to know me by the end of this episode, but you might know me a little bit better as far as a podcast host, and that'll probably help the listenership. So, hey, what's up? I'm him he. Mike, 27 years old, black male, father of one, 15-month-old Nyla, Satara's boyfriend, husband in the making, really soon, from Pittsburgh, PA, kinda. I guess you could say I'm really from Tampa, Florida, because I was born there. It played an integral part in my life, as we'll get to that point. I'm the youngest boy of five siblings. I have one little sister. I have three older brothers, all on my mom's side. I'm my dad's only child. One thing I am going to say is I'm not holding any punches in this. This is for the listeners, and I want y'all to know who y'all listening to. My dad, he basically wanted to have a baby, and that's why he got with my mom. I'm not going to give too much information, but he decided that he didn't actually want to be with her, so they broke up fairly early in my life. I don't even know if I was born at the time that they had, like, broken up. So I didn't grow up in a family with, like, my mom and dad in the same household. Once they broke up, it was just hard for him being a homosexual man, on top of the part that he didn't want a relationship with my mother. My family on my mother's side is very Christian, so it was really a struggle for, I'd say, probably like the first couple of years of my life. I knew my dad, but I knew of him. Like, he came to get me and stuff, like regular stuff. He definitely made the effort. It wasn't like he just was like one of these dudes where they froze him out. He actually eventually ended up getting custody of me because my mom has a couple of other kids. And I will let y'all know, it was rough. Just the things that my mom has gone through, I think that it's affected her heavily to the point where, like, it affected the way that she dealt with us. So I think children, like, bro, children are overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? So her dealing with, you know, the things that she was dealing with personally, having to put food on the table. And then you got, out of the four kids, because my sister wasn't born now. Actually, it was three, because my other brother, he had been sent to live with his dad. So three kids, two of them is bad as hell. I can understand the struggle. We went through it. We stayed in shelters. We stayed with other family members. We had been taken away from my mom at a point in time. I was really young when this happened, but like it was real, bro. We lived in like Chicago for a brief moment. I don't know why, but we mostly stayed in Tampa. My brother, he had a lot of trouble growing up, so he was putting my mom through it. I like remember actually like right before I like ended up moving to Pittsburgh with my dad, he got hit by a car because he ran away. Why he ran away, I don't know. Because he would like run away and then he would like come back. So like I didn't even understand like what the point was. He would always run away. He was always getting into something. He had been hit by a car more than once. Of course he was okay, but it was just like he was just wilding at this point. Basically, from what I know, my mom and my dad had a talk and she basically said, I just really need your help with him because my sister had just been born and like my two brothers, I think they were like becoming preteens. Boom, long story short, we drive up to Pittsburgh from Florida. That was when I figured out I did not like long rides. That shit was long. Pause. I actually couldn't read when I got up to Pittsburgh. Like, it wasn't that I couldn't read, but, like, I was one of those kids. And y'all know what I mean. Like, lack of a better word, the nigga can't read. You know what I'm saying? I had a very high voice. I've always been just cool with being myself. So people ain't really taking liking to me when they first met me because, for whatever reason, as y'all know, We ain't allowed to be ourselves as black men. You know what I'm saying? We fight to be ourselves our whole lives. And it's just ridiculous. Yeah, I dealt with that. I ended up, like, getting cool with people and just, you know, becoming just a regular kid around the city. When we first moved up here, we moved to Wilkinsburg, which is not the best area. But the area that we lived in was all right. We moved to Morningside. At this point, I'm cooling as far as life goes. I'm a little kid. I'm going to school. Every summer, I'm either going to see my mom or I'm going to Portland, Oregon. I think me and my dad was still cool at this time. I was like 10, 11. So my dad became a foster parent. I feel like he became a foster parent just so he could help out taking care of one person. Let's call him Jeff because Jeff was a friend of the family. He was one of those kids, like one of those angry kids, like crazy angry kids, hitting his mom's boyfriend, hitting teachers, you know what I'm saying? Doing crazy stuff. I don't even remember what crazy stuff he was doing, but he was doing wild shit. Like he was a wild boy, you know what I'm saying? Jeff moves in. Mind you, I was against the whole foster kid stuff off the rip. We had Jeff for a couple years. A couple crazy things happened with Jeff that I'm pretty sure I can speak actually, about. And I don't know why Jeff hated my dad because my dad, like, did a lot for him. But he hated him for some reason. Like, Jeff, if it wasn't for my dad, Jeff would have been in jail. Of course, me and Jeff didn't like each other because Jeff used to threaten me. And, like, Jeff would, like, he never did anything to me because, I'm going to be real with y'all, I wasn't a violent kid. I've definitely been in fights before because when you go to school in Wilkinsburg, you have to fight. But, like, I wasn't the kid that was just going to pop off on you. I wasn't a hood kid. That wasn't my life. So, he would, like, threaten to do stuff to me. And he was, like, crazy. Like, I want to pick my words wisely with this because I know these two people. This dude beat up two people at once. Like, it was a thing. It wasn't a myth. Like, it was a thing that happened at Morningside Elementary School. Like, it happened. Everybody knew it happened. So, like, he was crazy. So, like, I wasn't trying to get, and he was, like, I was, like, 11 at the time. And I think he was 14, 15. But he was, like, 5'9". And being 5'9 at 14, 15 in the 8th grade, he was, you know what I'm saying, a little couple grades back, of course, but like being that size in the 8th grade, I was in the fifth grade at the time, so I might have been like 9, 10. So yeah, like I wasn't trying to fight him. I've always had sense. I don't care what y'all want to call it, being soft, whatever y'all want to call it. I ain't never bit off more than I could chew, for real. And if I did, I learned my lesson. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a risk assessment type of guy. That's why, and I'll tell y'all this early, you know, that's why when I was getting into stuff I didn't need to get into, I was never in no bad blood situation because That's not the type of guy I am. We trying to get money. So, boom. Jeff is going crazy. Like I said, he got in a fight with them dudes. He done got kicked out, brought back, you know what I'm saying, brought back to the house. I'm telling my dad, like, yo, you trying to stop doing this? Like, I'm not really with this. But, again, no. So, at this point, you know, I'm outside. Like, I became, like, I was the kid that was outside all the time. Always with his friends, always somewhere, but home. You know what I'm saying? Unless it was curfew, I was on punishment. So, I'm outside. I actually spent the night over a friend's house. Like, I had, like, a real good weekend. Like, I don't know if y'all remember this, but, like, we used to spend the night over each other's house. Like, with the bros, playing the games, sneaking out the house, going to clubs. Like, we was, you know what I'm saying, little, we was young boys. You done went through the whole week of school. Your parents didn't give you the okay to go to your homeboy house. You ain't even going home on Friday night. You came to school with your packed. Come to school with my clothes in my. So we basically partying, you know, in our terms. We partying. And it's like, bro, it get to the Sunday. And it's like, dang, bro, you know what? I'm going to go home. I got, you know, let me get some of this homework done. Take a shower. You know what I'm saying? Chill out for school on Monday. Bro, I walk up the steps because we lived in a duplex. I walked up the steps. And I'm looking at the steps. And it's like, why is there blood on the steps? And it's like a lot of blood, like a lot. I'm living in this house. Like, I done seen my dad, like, put Jeff on the floor, have Jeff in a headlock, sitting on Jeff, restraining Jeff for hours because Jeff is going crazy. Jeff done bit his finger, trying to tell people that my dad did it because it's like Jeff was crazy. Of course, Jeff is not his name. And if you know, grew up with me, y'all know who I'm talking about. Again, no smoke to your brother. I ain't spoke to him since, but no smoke to your brother. We, you know what I'm saying? Hope you're doing what you got to do. It's all this blood on the floor. I don't even think the door was locked. The landlord's door was right here. Ours was right here. It was like you walk in and you go up the steps to the apartment, basically. I'm like, okay, that's odd. This is unlocked. And then, like, the basement door was wide open. I go down in the basement because it's wide open. I'm like, okay, it's mad blood. So then I make it up to the house, to the apartment. I'm like, what's going on? And my dad told me he tried to hit me over the head with a vase. But I think he, like, tried to hit him. And, like, my dad blocked it and it broke. So it cut his head. Oh shit. This is a good thing because I've made a concerted effort to make sure that I'm not putting out any episodes until I edit the audio, and I definitely have to edit the audio now because I just said Jeff's real name. So Jeff's hands split open. That's why there's so much blood. I guess Jeff ended up, my dad had called the cops on Jeff before trying to get him out of his house. But I guess since he hadn't tried to do nothing crazy, I guess he couldn't. So somehow, some way, with Jeff trying to do that, he got taken away. As far as like life threatening, there's definitely been a lot of meltdowns because from, I'd say I was like 11, 12, once he really became a foster parent. Up until 17, when I left, we had foster kids. So, it was a struggle because the dynamic wasn't what it was supposed to be. I mean, if you're a kid that grew up with a parent that's a foster parent, and it may not have been the way that it was supposed to be, because I know I can't be the only person that had this experience. You know what I mean. So, with things going the way that they went, me and my dad, we became at odds. And we've, honestly, bro, I grew up with my dad. My dad raised me. He definitely taught me how to just be responsible. And I would say he gave me enough to where I could survive. But as far as our relationship, we ain't really, really had a relationship like that since, probably since I was like 10, 11, 13, because I felt a type of way that I voiced to him multiple times that I didn't think that foster care was the best thing. As far as for me growing up and him being my dad and him raising me. And like, I think there was just so many times where you could blatantly see, like, this isn't even really worth it, in my opinion, as far as what it's doing to our relationship. But mind you, bruh, we are going through it, and I'm using this as an excuse to just suck in school. I'll just throw T in the mix because she's definitely a part of the story, clearly. I met Satara in sixth grade. I'll tell you the first time I seen Satara. So we went to Sunnyside Elementary School in Stanton Heights, but it was like the first day of school because Morningside had closed because we lived in Morningside. So, wow, I've went like 29 minutes without cussing, or I think. So we're at Sunnyside, first day of school, sixth grade, and we're in, you know, we get to recess. So they bring in all the sixth graders. Me and Satara, we're the same age, so we're in the same grade. And I think that she was just like, her class was like, just, they called her class, go in line and like stand against the wall for recess. And I seen her. People will feel me when I say this. Like, you would used to think that certain girls used to be thick, and then you see them now, it's like, what, where did it go? Satara was, that was not the case. She has always been voluptuous. And she's always been really pretty. So I seen her, I'm like, damn, she kind of thick. And I ain't gonna lie to y'all, at sixth grade, I'm watching porn at this time. I was a nasty little boy. I'm like, I wasn't even into girls like this at this time. This is actually like the first year like I started getting into girls. Even at this time, I had like bad acne, dog. Like, that junk was nasty. Me and Satara actually didn't end up meeting until later that school year. I had a friend whose sister was cool with her. So he invited me to his sister's birthday party, and her sister invited her to the birthday party. Bruh, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm working my move. And mind you, this is a sixth grade way of working my move. Because first thing off the bat, I didn't wear no deodorant that night. Now, that's kind of some brownie points. Because once I tell you what happened, the fact that I ain't have no deodorant on is kind of pee. Because it ain't on you, it's in you, goddamn me. So, bro, I end up shooting my shot. Not the real way. I like the little boy way. Hey, bro, tell your sister to tell Satara, you know what I'm saying? That, you know what I'm saying? She was like, okay. Yeah, she said you cute. All right, cool. So we went to romp and roll. He was like, hey, she want to skate with you. So I start skating with her. Girl, I remember her homegirl. Homegirl is on the other side of me. For what reason, I don't know. Why are you all up in the business? But, see, my homeboy's sister, she was such a real one. She grabbed the homegirl. It's like, girl, you know what I'm saying? Let them do what they doing. So, bro, when I tell you, we, honestly, bro, she was on me. I ain't gonna lie to you. We came in my homeboy's uncle's van, with the vans with the multiple seats. She said, oh, she wanna sit next to you when y'all get on the van. Goddamn me. So, bro, I sit next to her. She is on me. We is kissing. She's feeling on me. I've never had this before. I've never been touched like this by a girl. She is on me. So, bro, she's on me. We just, you know what I'm saying? We doing it up. We get her phone number. But, like, she just ain't know what she had at this point. She was just, you know what I'm saying? She was playing with a nigga. So we had started going together from that point, but she ended up dumping me because she was saying that people was making fun of her. So she really, like, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I was low-key tight. I was tight. So I did end up doing some floss stuff to her. We was kind of, like, on and off throughout 6th through 8th grade. But we really got serious in 8th grade. Like, we was on and off 6th, 7th grade. But, like, 8th grade, I kind of was like, yo, this, that, and the third. Like, I kind of was becoming into my own person as much as you can at eighth grade. We actually ended up going to the same high school with each other because we were together every day. We end up, I'm not going to, like, say all the whole story, but we ended up having, like, a nasty breakup. Satara doesn't like me talking about things that happened when she was in the wrong because she be feeling embarrassed. Women are crazy because they will bring up your shit, but she don't like me talking about stuff that she was in the wrong for. So I won't go into detail. I'll say my part of it. I left her for another chick, like, in front of, because we was that couple. We was that couple in ninth grade. Like, everybody used to be like, oh, y'all are so cute and da 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 da. So when it happened, and y'all already know this, everybody gonna be on the girl side. And what I did was foul. But like I said, if y'all know this on the podcast, if you've listened before, if you play with me, I could be a foul nigga. If you gonna be foul, I'm gonna be foul. So I did some foul shit. So me and Satara, we really ain't talk like that. Like, we talked a couple of times because me being the goofy little nigga I was at the time, you already know I had to go get my shit back that I gave her. And the reason I was acting so goofy was because I was hurt. Because she did your boy wrong. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't have to be like that. So at that point, I think actually that was a great point in my life. Even though I was still like fucking 14 when it happened, that the way that I was treated by her and by other women because of what they seen or what they thought happened, I internalized and I said, oh, this is how women are. Because at this age, you are kind of still being put under the spell. Your mom might be keeping you under the spell that women are just great and wonderful, and men are the reason that things are so fucked up. And once I start, because of course, me breaking up with her and like leaving her at the lunch table to go sit with another girl, she's not going to be jumping up and down to tell people like, hey, the real reason that he left me was this, that, and the third. No, he broke my heart. That's the narrative you're going to run with. It is what it is. So, basically, nothing really happened. Like, I remember somebody told me, like, oh, no girls ever want to talk to you because you did this to her and this, that, and the third. That was a lie. I'll just tell you that. I was doing horrible in high school. I was doing so bad in high school. Like, and it was because I hated, like, I just hated my home life so much. I disliked my dad so much that I said, you know what? I'm gonna hurt him. I'm gonna hurt him. This guy that's already graduated high school, went to college, I'm going to hurt him by not doing well and ruining my future. I don't think I made that conscious decision, but I was definitely in a mode where I was just like, fuck him. It wasn't just because I was a teenager and I'm just, my emotions were displaced and I'm still figuring myself out. I remember one time, I want to say I was either in eighth or ninth grade, and we were just having a rough day. It was, at the time we had 3 foster children, like 3 teenager preteen children, and then their brother was born. It was like fresh. He had like came home maybe like a week ago, And, like, I guess my dad was just very stressful. But one day, bro, he beat me with an extension cord in front of the foster kids. Like, and, like, I didn't deserve a beating. I've gotten many beatings, so I can gauge what beatings I've deserved and not deserved. He just beat me because he was just taking out his frustration on me. We're not seeing eye to eye. I'm outside, nigga. Like, I'm outside. I'm not doing no fucking work. I'm not doing no homework. Fuck this school. We on some bullshit. We pranking niggas. We taking niggas' books. Like, our friends and shit. We taking niggas' books so they can't do their work. Bruh, I got a homeboy. I'm not lying to you. I got a homeboy. He took... So this is a thing called resource materials. Dog, this nigga, so we had this class, I think it was like some type of like history class or like social studies. And like the resource materials was what you needed for the whole semester to pass. Like you needed to complete the whole packet. The packet was like this. This nigga stole my resource materials. He stole my resource materials, so I couldn't do any work. So, you already know how that class used to go. I remember the teacher was like, do you understand that I can tell when you got your hair cut? I can tell if you've been brushing your hair, and if you haven't been brushing your hair, by how many waves are in the back, because you have your back turned to me the whole class every single day. I can tell that when you need a haircut. Like, I was one of them back then. I end up changing schools because I was going to an IB school. Did not take advantage of the IB program. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, the school was so... And the fact, the IB school was so hard that once I went to this new school, I was automatically on a roll, high on a roll, because the work that we was doing this in ninth grade. So, like, the last 2 years of high school, so it was, like, really easy when I, because it was in 11th grade when I changed schools. At the end of 11th grade, because I'm, remind you, bro, I was basically on punishment from, like, 9th grade until my dad sent me to live with my mom. It had gotten to a point where, like, my dad was like, okay, you can do this, this, and this just because, like, I'm tired of you being in the house because you're, because, like, bro, I hated living there. I hated him. Like, I did not fuck with, like, the living situation. It's everything that was going on, I didn't fuck with it. Long story short, he gets fed up and he's like, we at odds, nothing's gonna change, so we might as well just spend some time away from each other. Hopefully we come back together, you'll understand me a little bit more and I'll understand you a little bit more as you get older. So I move with my mom. Like I said earlier, the reason, like, my dad did my mom bad, and me and my dad are like kind of a lot alike. We kind of like have the same mannerisms. We kind of talk the same way, out of the same personality. It's kind of, and we like, we're a lot alike, but we have big differences. But from someone that's probably just doesn't look at him in the best light, she probably just saw, this is him. We did not get along. Moving to Florida was rough because it was a culture shock. I didn't factor in the fact that I was leaving all of my friends and I wasn't gonna have like a group right when I got down there. Like at this time, I'm playing football. And like I said, me and my mom are going through it. And as far as mentally, oh, I'm cooked. Like, honestly, bro, I think like the second day I moved to Florida, I was like crying and was like, y'all, wish this never would have happened. Because even though me and my dad had issues, I always had a place to sleep. Like, I always had my own room. There was always food on the table. It was never like the way that we were living when I moved with my mom. It was like literally like we would have to go, we would be eating out three times a day. Like, say, like, it was a day where, like, I'm not in school because she was driving taxis, and, like, it was just bad. Like, we were living at my aunt's house. It was, I don't even want to talk about the living situation because it was disgusting. So this happens. Mind you know, I'm playing football. I'm getting, like, I was looking good at this point. Like, I was, like, coming into myself, like, as far as, like, my features. I wasn't, like, fat as fuck yet. So, you know, I'm playing football, you know, I'm practicing this, that, and the third. And I'm also kind of, like, getting into church because, like I said, bro, I ain't have no tribe. I didn't have even my friends, bro. Like, I never had a phone like that. I had a phone at this time. It wasn't a smartphone, though. But, like, I never was, like, I was never in that bubble where texting, oh, we're on socials all together. I was on social media, but I was on social media on my computer. You know what I'm saying? I never was, like, into, like, oh, Facebook and all of that, like, on a phone. Because I never had a phone that had the capabilities up until that point to do all of that. So, at this point, I have a phone, I think. But this is, like, I have, like, a, like, the cheapest Android. Actually, no. I didn't have a phone. So, what happened was, no, I had a phone, but it, like, I didn't have a phone when I first got there, but I had to get a phone because just, like, getting picked up and all of that. But it was, like, the cheapest phone ever. So I'm like, bro, I'm not hanging out with nobody. I was going, and also, this is the first time I was, like, in the school. Like, I went to the school in the hood in Pittsburgh, but it was just so different, like, the hood in Tampa, because I didn't know nobody. I didn't know the way things went. So I was, like, kind of scared because it's like, yo, I don't really know what can happen if I just get too comfortable. So, like, I wasn't going over people's houses. I'm not trying to get to know niggas. I'm playing football. And it's like I'm kind of building a camaraderie. But it's still a little bit of a culture shock because it's still all this other stuff that's going on. So it was a little bit chaotic. Oh, and I was aware that my mom didn't tell me this, but somebody had told me, your mom's going to leave you once you graduate. Like, she's leaving Tampa. So you have to figure something out, like, because you can stay with somebody, but, you know, you want to have something going on. So I'm trying to see what work with what I have. And I say, you know what? As y'all can see, like, I think I have a talent for broadcasting, speaking, some type of speaking medium as I'm doing a podcast. And I kind of had the idea at that point, but it just wasn't directed anywhere. So I get the thought that, hey, I'm going to be a pastor. And my family, being religious, being Christians, of course they jumped at the thought of that. My grandma in particular. So she was pushing me to do that. And she had the connection with the pastor at her church to where he could help me do that. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity that he gave me. Because would that have been the opportunity for me? I would be a successful pastor right now. Because he would have put me in position. So, boom. Let's stay on track. Because I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So, graduated high school. My mom dips on me. I have to find out. And mind you, bro, at all this time, if people are, because some people in this situation, they'd have got right into the streets and tried to do for themselves. They'd have got themselves a job. I was so crippled because I had so much independence in Pittsburgh. I was riding a bus by myself. My dad used to just straight up tell me, like, yo, just, because I'm not, I've never been a dumb kid. I've never been a kid that's getting into stuff that I shouldn't be getting into. If I'm outside, I'm chilling somewhere safe. I'm with a girl somewhere safe. Like, I'm not messing with the hood girls. Like, it just, bruh, I just was myself. Like, I messed with people that was doing what I was trying to do, which was have fun. Any other stuff, doing bad stuff, I wasn't with that. Anybody could tell y'all that. I was never, anytime people tried to get me to do something bad, I'm not with it. I'm not going, call me whatever you want. I'm not with it. That's not me. So, at this time, like, I'm green. I'm living in the hood. I didn't even know I was living in the hood at this point, because the hood in the South works different. Like, you can be living in the hood and not have any action on that block, because everybody that lives on that block owns their house and they've lived there forever. So nobody's going to ever bring no foolishness to that block, because that's not what these people is doing. These are working people. One of the houses, the house that I live in, was one of those houses. I don't know what to do, y'all. I ain't going to lie to you. I don't know what to do, because I've been emasculated at this point, because she's taking me everywhere, because I don't know. I literally had culture shock, because I wasn't even thinking to, like, try to figure stuff out, because that's eventually what I had to do. Honestly, bro, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm, like I said, I'm not throwing shots, but she didn't really care about what I was going to be doing to getting out of school. That wasn't her concern, because it wasn't going to benefit her. And that's just a fact. And that's just something that, these are things that I've come to grips with, because it's reality. And people, when we say things like that, somebody will say, oh, you're bitter and this, that, and the third. Bro, what if that's just what it is? What if that's just what it is? Is it my fault that that's the fact? You're mad at me for calling out the fact that I've been, that someone else has made clear to me? I don't understand it. So, boom. I'm down bad. At this time, and mind you, through this whole time, this from 11, because that's when me and my grandma started getting real cool. And this is my other grandma, not my grandma that I was just talking about with the church stuff. My dad's grandmother. Me and my grandma, we're talking, we're communicating through all of this. She knows all of this. I'm giving her the lowdown. Back in the day when I didn't, like, when I was talking about the whole cell phone stuff, she was paying for it. Like, my grandma, she was really, like, and she didn't used to baby me either. Like, she was, honestly, bro, and I don't talk about my grandma that much on the podcast, because I be feeling like there are certain things that you should keep to yourself. I don't know if I, but without my grandmothers, I don't know if I would be here right now. I don't know if I would be here, like, right now, bro, when I'm talking about right here, right now, inside my house, not that I own, but the house that we pay rent on and we pay the bills for, inside my house, in my daughter's play area / the work area, with my girl upstairs doing what she's doing, my daughter upstairs doing what she's sleeping, I didn't think I wouldn't have this structure if it wasn't for my grandmothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, bruh, when I graduated, my grandma had been putting up savings bonds for me since the day I was born. Every week, every 2 weeks she got paid, or every month she got paid. Because my grandma, she had one of them corporate jobs. It wasn't one of them peon jobs, goddamn. So she putting up, you know what I'm saying, savings bonds. And I'll go ahead and give y'all the number. She gave me 8 racks. She didn't give me 8 racks, but I was able to take out 8 racks worth of that money that she was saving up for me for 18 years. So that money I used to just buy a cloak. And, like, I bought a lot of books because I was, like, you know, on my theological stuff. Like, I was reading a lot. So, like, I blew that money in, like, 3 weeks. Now, but what I will tell you is, I definitely made sure that I had rent paid up until I got a job, because, like I told y'all, I had to move in with my cousin. Had to pay rent because I'm a grown man. So I'm paying, and I wasn't paying nothing, but shit, $200 a month once I blew the 8K. And mind you, this was in 2013. Crypto existed. I heard of Bitcoin. I definitely heard of it. Niggas were saying to buy it. I didn't buy it. And that was because I didn't have the understanding. I had the money to do it. But I didn't, the understanding, my maturity, it wouldn't even, my immaturity at the time would not have even allowed me to do that for myself. Because I didn't have the foresight to see that far. So, And I want to try to speed this up because I know that the baby's going to be getting up soon. And this is a long story. So I want to try to be, I want to try to tell a little bit less in-depth stories. So boom. I'm working at Chick-fil-A. I'm in Bible school. And I'm in community college. And I'm working hard. I'm going the fuck hard. But during the same time, as I'm living with my cousin, excuse me, more people move in with him. So it kind of muddies the relationship. If, and I'll tell you this straight up, if you are 18, 19, you got to stay with somebody. Number one, make sure you clean up after yourself. Make sure you just clean up. Make sure you put an extra food in the refrigerator just because. Because you're going to end up, especially if it's your family, you're going to end up eating their food. So make sure you keep putting food in the refrigerator. Wash your dishes. Wash your bathroom. But if you can do one thing, make sure you don't move into a house with other motherfuckers that staying with somebody else. Because they already a little sour about it. Number one, they don't want your ass staying with them. Dog. And this is something that I want to talk about. I know that house hacking is the thing. And I don't know this from experience, but I'm just, as far as mathematics go, numbers, it makes sense. But because people always talk about why black people don't do this. Y'all know why black people don't do this, because they can't stand each other. You know what I'm saying? So I end up working at Chick-fil-A. I ended up getting a job opportunity. I actually found this job because I was looking for jobs. I'm like, all right, bro. This shit is all cool. This community college is cool. This Bible school is cool. I'm getting my work done. I'm doing a lot of work. But I'm not making enough money. And I don't know what I'm going to do with this liberal arts degree. And I don't even really think I'm a Christian. To be honest. It's not even that I don't want to be a pastor. It's that I don't know if this is for us. I'm like coming into, like, realizing, yo, if you really going to do something, you got to figure this shit out. Because nobody's going to help you. Nobody cares. This was a time, and I think that for every man, that it's very important for you to go through this time. I stayed with my cousin, like, 2 years. Yeah, because I stayed with him up until the point that I lost the job at the police department. So I lose the job at the police department because of a lot of stuff. But I know if I start talking about that stuff, I'm going to get off track. I lose the job at the police department because of a lot of stuff. And this is where I gotta choose my words carefully, because I want to give y'all the information. But I'm at a point in my life where I just cannot talk about certain things a certain way. Or people, like, only if you know the story, you know the story. But it's not for me to just be bringing this up and putting it out there. So a family member of mine, they got into some legal trouble. I won't go into what legal trouble, but they got into some trouble and they had been advised to leave the state. So they came back and they weren't supposed to come back. We are homeless. Me and this family member, we're homeless. And they fish grease. Read between the lines. They fish grease for a year. So we just having to do what it do. We did find a spot. You know what I'm saying? One thing, that's another reason why I like Tampa. I like down south, because it's more of a chance that there's some black folk that owns some stuff. So you don't necessarily always got to go through these channels to get things. I went through an experience. I really want to say, once I moved in with that family member, I put a foot into the criminal underworld. Because the way that we had to survive, I didn't have a choice. Or so I thought. At this point, I'm really lost because I'm being played and I don't even know I'm being played. I didn't learn that I was being played in this situation until like 1.5, 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is how much I had to like sit there and think and figure out, wow, that was not in your favor at all. Mind you, the whole time, this situation where I was like just doing stuff that I didn't have nothing to do, it lasted, because this was probably about 2015. It was the beginning of 2015. This lasted up until the end of 2017. So I live with this person. Oh, man. I went almost the whole episode without doing that. So I live with this person and their significant other. I end up moving out because it was just hot stuff going on. This person gets arrested right after I move out. Boom. Me, I'm trying to get away from the BS, but I'm still mentally broken. I'm broken. By the time all of these things have happened in life, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm no longer, you know, the happy-go-lucky Mike. I'm no longer the life of the party. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. I'm doing Xanax. I'm doing Molly. And I'm not addicted to drugs because I'm not an addictive person. But there's definitely been points in my life where I've substituted drugs for a better feeling, whatever that feeling is. I didn't even realize that I could just keep recording. I had to step away because I've been talking for too long. I did not plan to be talking for this long, but back to where we were at. So I'm staying with my family member, or we're staying together, figuring it out. So it gets to a point, it just gets so real where it's like, yo, I can't do this. This isn't really benefiting me. I'm not saving money. You know what I'm saying? I'm just dealing with BS that has nothing to do with me, but I just become a part of it because I'm in the environment. But long story short, I end up, and I just realized I don't have headphones on either. Let's just continue though. So I end up moving into a rooming house. This rooming house didn't last for that long, but this was when I was really realizing that I was down bad. So, boom, we have to tell this story. I end up catching a case. I caught a case because I leave that house. I go to the rooming house, and that doesn't work out. It was all my fault. I was working at Walmart at that point. Let's just tell the story of me catching my case. So I moved out of the house with the family member because it was too much going on. I eventually end up being homeless because I, again, did not take advantage of the situations that I had in front of me. I've actually had a lot of chances in life for someone that has not really been dealt the best hand, because at one point I was working at the police department, which was a good full-time job. At another point, I had two jobs. Like, right before I went homeless, I gave up my two jobs. And I gave up my two jobs to do a job that wasn't commission-based. But I didn't even know that at the point, because they got me. That was the first time that I had been done up by the capitalistic American normalcies, being that you can say anything to anybody, but as long as you're not fudging that on the paperwork is what matters. So I end up being homeless because I'm working at a job that I'm not getting paid for, and I didn't realize what was going on. Because I'm just thinking, like, I'm out here for 12 hours a day. They got to pay me something. I'm working. That happens. I become homeless. I have to move back in with said family member because there's nowhere else to go. I didn't even have an internet connection to properly search for jobs, I was going to need to have to stay with somebody for a little bit to get on my feet, to even have a chance to get a job interview. Because I need to get a phone. I need to turn my phone back on. And I needed somewhere like I was at all day to where I could charge my phone. Because at the homeless shelter, you had to leave some days. It was a lot. So I get this job at Walmart. And I get the job at Walmart. But as like I said, I didn't have any money at the time. Because I'm just coming off of working for... I didn't get paid for a whole month working at that job. Because I was just... I don't know what was going on with me. Like, I'm a hard worker. And at this time, I was like slow. And I don't mean like slow, like mental, like I do mean it mentally, but not like special needs. I mean, like, I just didn't get everything. Like, I didn't get that, yo, bro, you got to go to work. I mean, I got it that you got to go to work every day and be there and be present. I got that. But I just didn't get that, yo, You need to be worried about what you need to do with these four. Like, you need to make sure that you're getting paid so that you can do this, that, and the third. Like, when I got kicked out, I kind of was just like, oh my God, because of the nature and how I got kicked out. And I won't get into that situation, but it was, of course, I still wasn't being the person I needed to be and the man that I needed to be, because I wouldn't have been in that situation, but it wasn't a great option for me, is what I'll say. So the reason I'm talking about this is because this is the lead up. So I end up moving in with this family member and I end up getting a job, but I need gas money. Like, this job isn't far, but it's far enough to where you're not just going to be playing it, you know what I'm saying, with a half a tank of gas for the first week or so. So I'm thinking of trying to do a scheme to get gas money. Long story short, you shouldn't commit schemes that you don't have experience in, because you're most likely going to get caught, especially when you don't do what the person initiating the scheme says. There's a reason why you do things a certain way. So long story short, I end up getting caught up. I get two charges of, one charge of grand theft and one charge of fraud, like conspiracy to commit fraud. Like, it has something to do with wire. I might have been wire fraud, something, fraud. So, boom, there we go. I'm here, I'm lost, I'm leaning into the criminal underground world because I quote unquote have to. Now it's getting to a point where I may have to. In my dumb brain. The Walmart gig doesn't work out. I caught the case and ended up getting from round. The first time when I lived with these people. And then, actually, I don't remember. And it doesn't even matter. So, I get to a point where it's like, okay, now, because the Walmart gig doesn't work out and I'm trying to find jobs and I have this on my record. And now it's hard to find jobs with this pending case on my record. Luckily enough, I hadn't had any charges. So I was in a pretrial intervention program, meaning that it was going to get removed once I completed it, which it did. So long story short, I struggle for the remainder of the time that I'm in Tampa, to the point where I say I'm leaving. And if I can, I'm moving back to Pittsburgh, because this is just, it's just too much foolishness down here. And maybe me staying somewhere that I'm familiar with, that I'm familiar with, because I hadn't been there for 5 years. Maybe me going to somewhere that I'm familiar with will help me, you know, adjust and just clear my mind, which it did. I ended up moving to Pittsburgh. I decided to move to Pittsburgh about a month after I was talking to Satara, because she contacted me on Snapchat and we kind of got back together. Not back together, because we hadn't been together for a long time from that point. But we kind of got back talking over long distance, and I told her my plans, that I wanted to move back to Pittsburgh. I told her that, you know, if me and you are going to do this, we're going to be, you know, a couple, a family. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be me and you. And she was with it. So I'm so mad that I had to stop, because I know I'm not sitting in the right position. I don't have my headphones on. It's cool. This is what happens, though. Dad stuff. I had to fix T something to eat. Got to get a baby something to eat. And I got to hurry up, because the baby got to come down here to eat. So, boom. I struggled. I even struggled when I moved up here. But what I did was, when I the decision that I made to move up to Florida, I wasn't running from nothing. I wasn't running from anybody, because no one's that important in my life to where I had to move states to move away from anyone. What I was doing was not giving myself any excuse to why my life wasn't where I wanted it to be. I told myself that you need to go somewhere to where you can just do what you need to do for yourself, so that the next time you fuck up, you can't blame anybody else. Because I wasn't the man that I wanted to be. And I was feeling sorry for myself because, you know, the charges were holding me down with getting jobs in Tampa. And I'll let you know on something that I didn't realize, but ended up working in my favor. Because even though I don't have the most glamorous story, I've been very lucky. Like I was saying earlier, I've had a chance to work for the police department. The police department was the first call center job that I worked at. If I didn't spend those 9 months working for the police department, I wouldn't have gotten the idea to, hey, maybe I can just work at call centers to put food in my mouth and pay my bills. So, boom. I ended up moving up to Pittsburgh with Tara. With Satara. Satara is living with her mom. Her mom and her are living in Bon Air, which is over by the south side. Me and my dad are living in Swissville, which is near Wilkinsburg. You from Pittsburgh, you know how far that is. Neither of us had a car, but we made it an effort for us to see each other over the weekend, both days in the weekend, and probably like one time during the week. We made that effort. And I took a cart attendant job at Target, bro. And, bro, I just want to say this, because there's a lot of idiots that influence our young people because they're quote unquote cool. Bro, if you have a job, you have a job. Especially if you're in college or if you're living with your parents, don't ever let anybody tell you anything about the kind of job that you have, because it builds character, bro. I literally wouldn't be able to learn what I'm learning right now if I didn't spend so many years in customer service. I wouldn't be qualified if I didn't have the customer service experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, these service jobs, these menial jobs are very hard to do because of the people that you work with, the customers that you deal with. But if you're willing to continue to try and expand your horizons, like I have started to do, like Satara has started to do, the experience that you gained in these jobs will help you as you move forward. The idea that you are too good for a job is an idiotic statement, or too good for a certain type of job, it's an idiotic statement, unless you are worth some type of money and bring in some type of money. If you don't have that statistic, or if you're not going to college to get a degree that's definitely going to pay off your loans and pay you well, for you to say anything of the sort is ridiculous, and you're an idiot. Okay? I know there's stuff out there that we can get. It's easy. is easier than it was before, but you still have to work and you still have to start from somewhere. And I just say this because I just don't want people that are younger to be, because I know that you take some of you, you take these people serious when they say these things about jobs and you can't date a man without a job. This is all for content. You need to work if you don't have what you need as far as resources from the people that you that raised you. You're going to have to work. Some way, somehow, it's going to be some work if you want to become successful. Period. So, we get to the point where, you know, I'm working at a call center because I got a new job after working at that card attendant job. And Satara has a new job. Me and Satara's jobs are across the street from each other. And we continue to work these jobs. Satara actually kept that job for a very long time. So we continue to work these jobs. And we just continue to build forward. Satara went up the ranks in that job. Her income increased significantly working that job and going up the ranks. At a point in time, I could no longer do call center work, so I had to leave that job. But it was the best thing that happened to me, because working at a call center and working, you know, with student loans, particularly working for a student loan servicing call center, it let me see the reality of a lot of people that take the victim role in life. A lot of people that have just been done so horribly wrong, and they've just become a tragedy of the brunt end of capitalism. And I was able to see, like, yo, I'd never want to be that person. I used to get these thoughts because I would tell my story, because I used to tell my story a lot, like when I was in church, in the church. And people would always say, you know, give me sympathy. And, like, it would always feel weird because no matter if I'm not the toughest guy or not, I'm still a man when it comes down to it. And it just feels weird for, like what do I don't know what I get out of people feeling sorry for me. And I never used to say that because it's kind of rude to say when somebody's giving you sympathy. But, like, I was just thinking about it, and it's like, yeah, I'm glad that you care about me. But I don't know how this changes my sad situation, this sad story that is getting you to give me sympathy. So I decided to stop telling my story, because only when I have to, because I don't want nobody feeling sorry for me. I'm moving past that, bro. The stuff that, you know, would make you feel sorry for me, yeah, I deal with it. I deal with it because I gotta, you know, it's just not me who I'm living for nowadays, and I definitely don't want to be a person that I'm letting my traumas out on people. That's not me either, so I deal with it, but I deal with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not something that I really want to just put out on the earth, unless it's a reason why, like this episode. So, bro, we just kept elevating, dog. We moved into a one-bedroom apartment, bruh. One-bedroom apartment. People was overdosing next door. We was like the only people in the building that actually paid rent regularly. Everybody else was on like some type of subsidized something. And I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not like shaming y'all. I'm just saying that's the first place we was at. We moved to another apartment in a nicer area, nicer environment. And we've moved, we knew that we were pregnant, so we moved into a house. Now we'll be moving into another house in a couple months. It'll be a nicer environment, nicer house as well. We have kept going. I've kept going. My thing, I tell you, and I tell you this story, I tell you all the negative things that I've went through to tell you that, bruh, don't none of that give you no license to just give up. Now, if you want to give up then, because I don't want to hear people talk about how hard something is. Because if you talk about how hard it is, you won't really want to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that it was a good thing to do with, you know, this being the turn of a short segment of a different type of podcast. The things that I've learned, I left out a lot of stuff because I've let you guys know things like in recent episodes about how I, you know, how I went from, you know, I'm just trying to work and pay bills to, oh, it's more. I'm still learning these things. Like, they're so, like, bro, when you just sit down and listen to somebody that, you know, maybe is rich or maybe is just wealthy, successful, and you realize they just live a totally different way than us. Or if you're just, if you just want a high-paying job, bro, that is so much different than the things that we learn in our, the things that are normalized in our communities and households. It's just so much to learn, and nothing, bro, I'm not, dog, nothing's going to stop me from just becoming who I want to become and really putting in the work that needs to be put in to become that person. Something, like, I was talking to T, and I'm like, bro, damn, like, you can't do it. And I'm not mad at her not being able to record, because I wasn't able to record for several months with us having the baby and me doing the cohort. So I can't be mad, because you got to immerse yourself into this if you want to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's just not a hop, skip, and a jump. Because these are things you got to know. And you're getting certifications. You're getting tested. Like, this is not just somebody giving you an opportunity to get in tech. This is you having to take that opportunity. So I'm proud that she really ready to go all in on it. I'm going to figure out what I need to do, because there's a lot of things that need to be done as far as the producing side of the podcast that I could use this time for to do that. I'm going to do some research with the whole music thing. I was going to talk about music, but it's turned into just my story. I don't know what we're doing. As far as, I'm going to try to be dropping weekly. It's definitely not going to be an hour and 40 minutes like this is, because, of course, this is just me telling my story. But I'm glad I did this, because people can know, like, you know, where these things come from, or at least have a better idea. With that said, this is episode 109 of the Big Podcast. I'm your host, Him He. Shout out to CT. I'll talk to y'all next week. I watched the